So everyone pick up your Bible for me for a minute. Everybody got a Bible?
Yep.
You're the only ones off the hook.
Everybody have a Bible?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm assuming everybody's kind of familiar with the Bible, right?
No.
I'm going to make an assumption that everyone here, very simplistically, you understand what this book is about. So this is the Word of God, and it's been written through history, throughout history, by men who were inspired by God, right? Is that kind of a simple, basic understanding of what you know this book to be? And it was directed by God's Spirit, and He had total control of what was in it and what was not, and it's been preserved throughout the years. I believe in this book wholeheartedly, so don't misunderstand. And we've come to rely on this book as our teaching of who and what God is, and this is His Word. So, I want you to take your Bibles now, and just set them aside for just a minute. And I don't know what a lot of your backgrounds are, it doesn't really matter. All I know is that you are some younger folks, like I have many younger kids of my own. One or two.
A lot of many kids.
And Brayden, who was actually here, which he over the last many months, whenever I go to him and I ask him, I want him to do something for me, if I have a question, those kinds of things, I'll ask him a question. And even though he hears me half the time, he's got this selective hearing going, gotta be merciful on his wife. First thing out of his mouth is, what? So I wanted to ask you today. What does this book and what we're doing here today, what does it look like to you? What does a relationship with Jesus Christ mean? Do you? What do you believe? Are you sitting here because your parents told you to? Or what do you believe? And I would love to hear, I'm hoping to hear some feedback. Kate, what do you believe? I want to put you on the spot. You're old and wise. Oh. Much more than me.
Oh, no. I think
no, I don't see anybody back there. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah.
What do I believe?
What do you believe? Simplistically, not. Do you believe in the Sabbath? Do you believe in the holy days? Do you believe in what do you believe?
What do you mean, like?
Good, that's fine. Anybody else? Who else wants to throw out some thoughts? And I'm looking at you now.
Christina wants to.
She's next, not to worry.
No way!
You're going to be a great example for her.
Well,
I'm looking.
I believe in the Bible. I mean, it says God can't lie, so it's kind of an easy place to go.
Mm-hmm. It's not a wrong answer. Not necessarily. EJ, what do you think?
What?
Beautiful. Right. I'm glad someone's paying attention.
I don't know. We in the Bible.
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
The Bible's and all that stuff.
Good. All that stuff. Montana, because I really like your name. What do you think?
I know that God exists and the Bible is all true. And you go to the feast there.
Something from my chart. Victoria, right? Give me a thought. Anybody else want to volunteer? Like the rest of them here?
Sina wants to volunteer.
So specifically, I'm going to give you a word of thought on my perspective is I believe in the Bible, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that He died for me, and that's why we're here. I personally am cautious in this, and I don't want to make this a big deal, but I don't necessarily believe in the holy days or believe in the Sabbath, but I believe about them. So I'm here because I believe that God is our Creator, and he made certain days for us to observe His holy days and to show His shadowing of His coming, which is what this time stands for. And so I honor these holy days, not because I believe in them, but because I believe in God. Does that make sense? And I'm not trying to disparage anything you guys said. Please don't misunderstand me. But my purpose is to show that there is a distinction in what you believe in. Because as you folks get bigger and have your own families, start doing your own churches, God willing, you have to teach those things to those people. And you want to be very distinctive sometimes about what I believe in and what I believe. There's a difference, if that makes sense. So, this book is full of all kinds of information. And it talks to us about how we act, how to think, talking about the Bible, right? He gives us examples on how to act, and how to behave, and how to think. And he gives us a lot of lists of do's and don'ts, doesn't he? And sometimes that's a little overwhelming, all the do's and don'ts. Everybody else agree to that? I do too. I know there's a lot of emphasis on, and we just kind of just listed a couple, but I want to go back to it. Is you hear a lot in the mainstream world of that if you just love God, everything's wonderful. Would that be an accurate statement for a lot of things that you hear? But what is the relationship with Jesus Christ look like to you? To be specific about not so much as what you believe, but more specific, but what does that mean?
Well, just something from my dad's sermon yesterday, law and love. There is some love, but you also have to apply the law. God, like Jesus didn't say, oh, love me and everything's going to be fine.
Okay.
You have to obey me, and that's showing me love, and everything's still not fine.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Good, good.
Your turn.
Your turn. So, Christina, you're probably a good example, actually. A lot of this is new to you.
Yep.
What? And you have a great dad that's got a plethora of knowledge. What is a relationship with a being, with an entity, with the creator of a universe that you can't really see or hear technically? What does it mean to have a relationship with him? How have you kind of defined that as you've gotten to know what all this church stuff is?
If you come in date with him, I think that will help you to make relationship. I don't know.
If you communicate with him, is that what you said? Okay, good. No, that's awesome.
She's on track.
She's on track. I'm having a hard time hearing. This person behind me is really loud. So no, you're doing fine. I'm just trying to hear you. It's about having a communication with
him.
And what does that mean?
It's mean you have to pray and talk to him.
Perfect.
Good job.
Good job. Would everybody else agree that prayer and communication with God is important?
Yeah,
if not necessary.
A critical aspect. Because I grew up to where that was never really taught, even as a little kid. You just pray because you want stuff, or you pray for somebody that's hurt or sick. But there wasn't a whole lot of, well, what's the purpose in praying other than just asking for this magical genie that's going to grant me these wishes, hopefully? And so understanding and trying to understand what a relationship is was foreign to me for a long time. So do you guys have... Are you comfortable with doing that? Does it seem awkward or weird to you to pray and communicate and talk with God? Good. See some head shaking.
No.
I see a few people sleeping in the back. That's okay. I gotta check out my cheat sheet because I can't remember. For the first 4 years of my marriage, I wrote down all my kids' love, kids' names. And it was Tandra, right?
Yeah.
And you're from Oklahoma, is that what you said? Rapid City, right? So what are your thoughts? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. We're all having fun. We're all friends.
Yeah.
We're all family, and this is good stuff. I'm just curious about thoughts because you guys have such a neat insight into the world. That it's just a different. You're in a time to where so much of what you guys see has not been skewed by years, like myself, Matt, and whoever else. So you kind of have a fresh view on things, and that's good. And keep that. Don't lose that. Don't let society squash that out of you. But anyway, what are your thoughts about a relationship with Christ? Say, you know.
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible.
That's a long.
So I have the... See, it's neat to me to hear this, and I'm very glad, because a lot of the things that I grew up with is, it was, again, there was no... You were looked at as strange and weird. If you prayed to God, or if you talked to Christ, those kinds of things, throughout the normal course of your day, driving down the car, sitting on the bus, whatever it may be, you were a little weird. And some people were concerned for you, and I'm glad that you folks are open and of the understanding that that's not a bad thing. So I encourage, it makes me happy, so I'm encouraging of that. So let me read my note really fast so you can see where I'm at. We have a world that is always putting on a show. I think you'd probably agree to that. We've got a world that's always putting on a show, whether it's on TV, movies, or just life and society in general. It's always putting on a show with just the right amount of element of good. Would you not agree? There's just enough good to say, oh, it'd suck you in. Oh, that's pretty cool. And there's just enough to give you that feel good, but more often than not, the underlying theme is the lesson of, oh, this is what makes me feel good, or do what's right for you. And that's how Satan kind of crawls into this world and kind of helps disrupt all this relationship stuff and things that are in the Bible. So going back to my example with Braden and asking what? What is good? What is right? What's bad? What is wrong? What defines what is right or what is wrong? Is it your heart? Is it your brain? That's a good answer. So what do you think? I gotta get my phone back.
Well, your conscience has a lot to do with it.
But people have different consciences.
Yeah, well, but it still has a lot to do with it.
Oh, true. However, depending on that particular person.
Like, my conscience might be better than yours.
Exactly.
No, conscience is good. That's something I didn't even think about. What is a conscience then? What, define that for me.
If you feel guilty when you do something wrong.
Okay.
Or you feel like you did something wrong, even if you didn't.
Okay. So, a guilt.
Yeah.
To a degree. Guilt, okay. Where does that guilt come from? Does that come from your heart, mind? Where does that come from?
Brain.
No, that's good. I like that answer. I like the answer. So there's a scripture that I was not familiar with for the longest time, because I used to always think that, especially the way society goes through, do what feels good. Do what your heart tells you. Isn't that what society teaches you?
Yeah.
Do what feels good. So, in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Have you heard that verse before?
Yes.
I know I told you.
I don't want it.
Please, yeah, turn to it. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And that's the New King James Version I read. Verse 9. So the ways of this world, they want you to believe that, well, everything, if it flows out from my heart, it must be okay. It must be right. It must be good.
It must be what you want.
It must be what you want. Or need. Right?
Okay.
But I like what you said a lot, Christina. And Christ also, in Mark 7, verse 20 to 21, if you want to turn there and someone can read that. Bye. Mark 7, verse 21. Are you there, Christina?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were turning. Anybody have that who wants to read that? Go ahead.
For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders. Can we keep going?
No, that's fine. Okay.
There's a whole list.
Yeah, there's a whole list. But that's what I wrote down, is to prove the point. And Christ also said, hey, out of the hearts of men is evil. Stop. We lust, we want, we desire, gimme, gimme, gimme. And so we do. And we're training to do that. Just like we're, in a sense, right now, we're training to be against that. Because we have been blessed with parents or whomever that's allowed us to be where we are right now, so that we can learn not to partake of what's of this world, of those lusts, of those wants, of the evil desires of our hearts. Would that be a true statement? Following me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta find my other scripture here. Well, before I do that, So help me, just give me a couple of ideas. So what is good and what is right? Back to my question. Back to our what? What is good and what is right? How do we know?
Bible.
I know you said that what guilt sometimes can define what's right and wrong. But ultimately the Bible, ultimately what God's teachings are, His Word is, can show us what's right and what's wrong. And is that what it's all about? Just a big list of what's right and what's wrong?
No.
Is that what's important? I don't believe so. And it's easy to get hung up on all of the right and wrongs and do's and don'ts. If I do this, I'm okay. And if I don't do that, I'm not okay. And I can tell I'm preaching to the choir, so. So a lot of those things that we get, a lot of that good and the bad and what's right and wrong, as you said, comes from the Bible, right? And how do you acquire that? That's what's that called? That's called when you get information from the Bible or from a book or whatever it is.
Knowledge.
Excellent. So through knowledge, then what happens? Once you get knowledge, what's that? what's the next thing that follows once you get information?
To do it.
Just do it. Okay. Good. Understanding. That's what I wanted to hear. Who said that? Outstanding.
Guy in the back.
Guy in the back. Which guy in the back? No. No, good. Understanding. Good. Everyone turn to 1 Peter real fast, please. So, I'm sorry, turn for it's, yeah, 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll give you the verse in just 1 second here. But, so once we get knowledge and understanding on God's Word, on the understanding of His holy days, and that we keep them to honor Him, and that we keep the Sabbath to honor Him, because it honors His creation, it honors what He's done for all of us. Once we get that, I believe that it's now your duty, our duty, and our obligation I believe it's our duty and it's our obligation, and it defines who we are to now act on that information that we get. That we have to do something about it, right? That God gives you that responsibility. And in 1 Peter verse 3, in chapter 3, excuse me, in verse 14, what do you want to read?
Verse what?
Verse 14. Whoever wants you to jump into it. Yeah, jump into it, I'll read.
Even if you have to suffer for doing good things, God will bless you. So stop being afraid and don't worry about what people might do.
Keep going.
Honor Christ and let Him be the Lord of your life. Always be ready to give Him an answer when someone asks you about your hope.
About your hope.
And my version is weird.
No, you're fine. And that's pretty much what mine says. It just kind of rambles on a little bit more. But that's where I wanted to stop anyway. So our obligation or our... the gift that we've been given of this knowledge is to be ready to answer for other people, to not only be examples, but to have an answer for the hope that is in us, is what my version says. So I can now give reason, I can give an answer to someone that sees me and says, you're different. I can tell you're different. Has anybody ever told you that before? I've been told that once before. You're different. It wasn't in a good way, but, but I've been told I was different. And I didn't mind that, and that was okay. So you raised your hand. Who just said that they've been told they were different?
Huh?
Huh? What? Anything particular? What would happen?
Well, like sports are a big thing in where I live, and we don't do sports on Saturday. And
mm-hmm.
We're different. And we've been told that, you know. Why don't you do this? You're different. You're weird.
Good. Anybody else experience that at all?
Lots of people
experience.
Being noticed that things are different in how you behave and how you say things, do things, behave and act around other people.
Like especially at work, since I deal with food a lot, there's a lot of pork and stuff. I tell them that I don't eat it, they get really like, what, that's so weird, and they kind of like tease me about it all the time. Or like Friday nights we're open till 8 and I can't work that late. It's really weird. And I have this one girl, she calls it my witching hour. She just really thinks I'm really weird for not working on Friday nights.
It was Colton, right? You shook your head. Did you experience that too?
Yeah, a lot with baseball.
I'm sorry, you what?
A lot with baseball.
With baseball? Traveling. I'm assuming then you're a baseball player.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. How do you overcome that? How do you work with that with your coach and those kinds of things.
Sometimes.
now you just gotta tell him you can't do it. Stick with what the Bible says. But he keeps telling you, teasing and stuff, and just ignore him.
I can imagine that could be difficult at times. For sure. Even us old people fight that a lot. But I commend all of you for doing those things. That's excellent. Because you're standing up for your God. You're standing up for your Creator and not the ways of this world. And that's kind of the point I want you guys to walk away from. Stand up for who and what you are and what you believe. Because ultimately, God is going to judge all of us for what we do and how we do it and how we are faithful to Him. So, some of my notes are kind of scribbly, and I apologize. I was trying to write some of them this morning very early. I was hiding in my room in my bed on all the covers with my iPhone on. Right, so. That's what that word is. I'm like, what is that?
That in your handwriting anyway.
Yeah, that in my handwriting is probably the end of it, but. So our perceptions of this world your perceptions of this world only come from you. Do they not? So how you see things, how you view things, how you understand things, how you react, just like in the example we just had as far as what I do and don't do because of my beliefs in the Sabbath. So, your views, you need to learn to be your views are your own. And eventually, they're not going to be your parents' views. They're not going to be your best friend's views, or the folks at school. And it sounds like you guys do an excellent job of working through those things. And it's difficult at times, too, to have your views trump popularity or create issues and conflict. Our views are different, and it's good. So I know that our group here, there's people that we agree on a lot of basic fundamental things, but there's little things we kind of disagree about. And that's okay. And so your view might differ a little bit from hers over here about one particular thing, and that's, in my opinion, that's okay, and that's good. And God made us that way. God made us that way so that we can keep true to ourselves, so we're not a bunch of yellow pencils that walk down the road doing the same thing. And on the heels of that, God says just the opposite for us. He says that He wants us. I'll back up. As we gain and learn information and knowledge that we just talked about, and you folks and the examples that we were given, and the knowledge and understanding you've been getting from this book and from God, from your communications with Him, what have you gained from that? And then you act on it. So when you tell your boss, when you tell your coach, hey, I can't play on these certain days, what are you doing?
Like, what do we tell them?
You're acting on faith, okay? My question's kind of bizarre, but... What? Thank you. when you act on... Here, I think this is when... Yeah, this is my first movie. So, turn the page on 1 Peter. Turn the page over. And go to 2 Peter. Back in just read this one. So stare at where you are. So the first thing you're doing once you gain your understanding, you've gained your wisdom, you've gained your understanding, you've gained your knowledge. And then from that understanding, and from that information, you form a faith. Do you not? So you form this faith that says that I'm going to act on this information that I have to the best of my ability and follow through with it. And what's that called? Yeah. I'm looking for the word faith. You have a faith, correct? You have a faith in what you're learning and what you believe in. So I'm simply defining that. Does that make sense? You have a faith. And what is faith? And in Hebrews, lots of people will refer to Hebrews 11 as the faith chapter, but there's just two little verses I want to read in here. Does anybody know what faith is? Can you define it? Because the Bible defines it very specifically. It's kind of cool. Outstanding, so you don't have to read that. That's in verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, if you wanted to jot that down for whatever reason. And in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So once we gather some knowledge, once you've been given this knowledge from your family when you're first young, but it's coming from God. And the Bible talks about that God has given us this information. He's chosen all of us to be here as part of his first fruits, his first resurrection, his first group in his kingdom. And that in itself is a very interesting and humbling thought. But it starts with faith, that we believe and we accept that invitation from him. And once we have faith, then we go to 2 Peter. And so now, when we're back in 2 Peter and in verse 5.
What chapter?
I'm sorry, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And it talks about the fruits of growing in faith. And I'll read it briefly just so I can kind of make my little point. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your own faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and then from knowledge you gain self-control. And as you gain self-control, you earn perseverance, which is what I've heard the examples in this room, perseverance of, I gotta maintain what I believe, right? And then from perseverance, then he says that helps you helps you grow into that godliness. To godliness is brotherly kindness. Into brotherly kindness is love. And love is kind of the end at which we're supposed to be getting to, because why? And the scripture says and talks about that God is what?
Love.
God is love. And that's why we're ultimately here, because God is love. And he loves us so much, he wants us to be part of his family. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom?
Knowledge is having, what is it?
Oh, I forget.
Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Okay, I gotta write that one down. That is outstanding.
That is good. I'll take that one.
So ultimately, as we gain understanding, as we gain information, as we put our faith to work, what does God give us? He gives us wisdom, right? And he gives us wisdom to continue to believe in our faith and act on it. He gives us wisdom to know when to fight sometimes and when not. But the difference between knowledge and wisdom, which I don't know how to illustrate it better than that. I got a little story, but it has nothing to do with that. But knowledge is the what to do. So the book a lot of times teaches us what to do, and it's the communication and the relationship with God that teaches the knowledge part, which is the how to do or the why. Does that make sense? Why do you do what you do? What does the book tell you? What do you do that for? That sounds kind of dumb. Right? Wouldn't you get that from one of your friends? What did you do that for? Well, but it's different if you turn it around and you look at the knowledge behind it, or excuse me, the wisdom behind it. Well, I have this relationship with this God, and he's put a lot of knowledge in this book, and yeah, there's wisdom in here too, don't misunderstand. But through that relationship, I'm able to apply that knowledge, and it becomes wisdom, and I can act on it, and I can make choices. They're not always good ones, but most of the time they're good ones. Especially when you rely on that relationship and the knowledge that you're learning from it. So my little boy, Gabriel, he's 5.
Six,
thanks. For two days, he couldn't find his shoes. He's got this pair of sandals, kind of like mine. Can't find his shoes.
They're really big on him.
Up and down. Stop that. Up and down the... I love your hair, by the way. Yeah, he got up at 4 in the morning to do that. Nobody appreciates my hard work. So, couldn't find his shoes. And the other day he went to the park. He went down to the park where we had our family day yesterday. I think he went there the day before. And he and his aunt and cousin and all went down there and they played for a little while. And I came to go pick them up. Because they walked down, they got tired, and I had to go pick them up. So I show up there, I'm loading up all the other kids that were around, and he pulls me over, he says, "Dad, come here. Dad. Excuse me. Dad, come here." So I walk over, and he's showing me, "Look over there." He's all being kind of nonchalant and smiling. "Look over there." Because one point is, I look over there, and there's a young kid, a little bit older than he is, and he's with his dad, and he's playing with one of those digging machines, right? Those are kind of cool. We've got the big digging machines digging up. "Well, that's really neat, Gabriel. That's cool." "No, Dad. Look." "I am looking. There's a boy. He's digging in the dirt with this cool toy." "No, Dad. The shoes. What are you talking about? He has my shoes." And I looked at him, and sure enough, they were just like his shoes. And you know what he told me? He says, "He took my shoes." "Honey, those are not your shoes." "Dad, those are my shoes. He stole them. That's why I can't find him. He has my shoes." That was hilarious. I tried to convince him. "No, but those are not your shoes. Dad, are you druggy?" I had to drag him, kind of drag him away into the car. "He's got my shoes." And even this morning, he woke up. So it had to be yesterday, the day before him. So he woke up this morning while I'm under the covers. I'm doing my thing. And he woke up. He's busting around. I said, "What's the matter? You go to the bathroom?" "No. His shoes are gone and someone stole them." So, all of my son, who's small, he's very smart, he's got a lot of knowledge, but he doesn't have that wisdom. Does that make sense? It was a funny illustration of applying wisdom for the information that we have. So Satan is very good at creating things. He creates conflict. He creates fear. My little boy was so afraid. He was so afraid that his shoes were gone and that somebody took them. And this is, I'm sorry, I'm just summing through my notes, but this is my our worldly nature, is that we have constantly this fear all the time. Because Satan knows how to plant those seeds in our hearts and our minds. And to be concerned and worried. Oftentimes we can become complacent about what God teaches us and about our faith. And I would ask all of you now that don't learn this lesson now. Learn this lesson now. Don't become complacent as you continue to grow and get into the world. Don't become complacent faith, which means being, we're going to understand what complacent is, right? Being relaxed, doesn't matter, go with the flow. Whatever happens, happens. This is one of Satan's favorite things, because when we're complacent, I'm going to jot the scripture down, I'll just read it. in 1 Peter 4. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, which is Satan, the devil, it says, the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring, like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, this is verse 9, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. When we become complacent, we get lots of knowledge, a lot of information from, and then as we get older, we kind of get a little bit lazy. Big people do it too, all the time. In fact, I think we get more lazy as we get older. We get complacent, and that opens up all kinds of possibilities for Satan to come into your life. And then he will use your information, your knowledge that you have, and he'll use it against you. And that's why you have to hold on to your faith and your wisdom to counteract that. Does that make sense? Satan's smart. He's really smart. He's been doing this for a long time, trying to deceive the world. So what? What does the world teach? Just to kind of recap, what does the world teach? And someone over here said it. I want, I need it, I should have it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Right? Learn this lesson and see if you can jot this down for me. You are not just the total of your senses and desires. You are not. Does that make sense what that says? So what makes you is not just a conglomerate of your senses, my touch, taste, feel, what I want, of just my senses and my desires. Likewise, you are not an object or the sum of just your experiences. So what you get to go do does not make your life. Does that make sense? Think about that. I'll repeat that again. What you are not. I'm sorry, excuse me. You are not an object or the sum of your experiences. One of my favorite books has this to say about that. This is called The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. He's a psychiatrist. He's crazy. I gotta find the right page. But what does the world want us to do so very much? I'm sorry, trying to get done. What does the world want us to do? What does Satan deliver everything on? Just wanting our own self-gratification, right? And that's why I mentioned those two things to you. Because everything around the world, in my opinion, revolves around self-gratification. And that's why it's so important for us to understand and know what you believe in and why. So you can stand up for what it is, because you're going to be bombarded your whole lives about everything. So his definition, one of his things in here, he says that one of the most important things we can learn in life is to delay certain things, or to not be subservient, or not to have it be your master. And one of those things is gratification. So he says in here, delaying gratification is the process of scheduling the pain and pleasure of life in such a way as to enhance the pleasure by meeting and experiencing the pain first and getting it over with. It is the only true and decent way. So it's kind of like doing your chores before you go play. I teach my little ones. And I believe that he's right, and I believe that a lot of things that Christ teaches is the same way. Is that we're not here to find self-gratification in whatever it is that we do. And we're not made up by those experiences. I'm sure everybody's old enough. Everybody's seen the movie Batman, right? The new recent ones that come out. Most of you have seen that one. With the one with Christian Bale. They're good. They're way better than the other ones.
I didn't even watch the other ones.
Good. Yeah, they rot your brain. But the Batman, there was three series, and they're really cool. I thought they were done really well. Good stories. Good moral stories, I thought, to them as well. Is other people seen the show? The movie Batman? Pardon me. In the last of the movie, the last set of movies, and there's giving anything away for those that haven't seen it, but he's been out of the loop for a little while. He hasn't been Batman for a number of years because of circumstances, and he's feeling sorry for himself and those kinds of things. And bad guy comes into town and says, well, that's okay, I'll just put on my suit again and go beat him up and run him out of town. Well, in return, he goes and he gets beat up instead. For those that have seen the show, he gets beat up, has all these problems, and he gets thrown into jail, or he gets confined by the bad guy. Sorry, I gotta read my note, I apologize. He realizes later that it's not the suit that gave him his power, it was his inner self. His self-control is what ultimately mattered. Not the suit, not his knowledge, because his suit was his knowledge to a degree. That's not what would save him, but it was humbling himself and realizing that he had to train properly and fight from within. Putting on and applying his wisdom, if you will, that allowed him to prevail. So one more scripture, we'll be all done, because I yammered on too long. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says that we are to test all things and hold fast to what is good. And that we are to be, in verse 14, upright. We are also supposed to be upright, uphold the weak, be patient in all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursues what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And in verse 16 it says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of your Lord Jesus Christ in God. So remember, prove all things. Believe in what you believe, because that's what you believe in. Stand up for what is good in the eyes of God, but know it from within you. You need to be able to define it all. Of not having all the knowledge, but being able just to understand it from within your own self. Does that make sense? Not that you have to have all the answers, but being able to continue to stand up for yourself, like I've heard. Be a blessing to others. And never stop asking why. Thanks.